Welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about the city council meeting for the month of November. It seems weird to talk about it being November. The holiday seasons are coming up. COVID numbers are going down. There's a lot of things that are in the works right now. Just to get started, let's talk a little bit about some upcoming events that are going to be happening in the city.
It's a busy time of year, and it's been a while since we've been allowed to have, you know, different events due to the pandemic. So we're excited that we're in this fall and winter season. There's a lot of holiday events coming up that I'm really excited about. Last year, we started for the first time our holidays in the park with Christmas lights that you could drive through. And we are adding to that this year. We have a huge increase, actually, in different decorations that will be set up around the Morehead City Park. We're hoping that will open mid-November. So be looking for that official announcement where people can drive through and kind of just have something to do in the evening once it gets dark. Mm-hmm. There's also the Appalachian Craft Fair that will be the first Saturday in December, as well as a Christmas parade that will be the first Saturday as well.
And then also on the agenda as far as Hometown Holidays is kind of happening. I know that there's the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra is going to be playing, and they'll be back for the first time since 2020. But is there other events happening downtown for Hometown Holidays? I haven't heard anything about that.
There are.
Okay.
There are. It's going to look a little bit different this year, but it will be occurring, and there will be some music and entertainment on the Bats Notes area, and businesses are setting up different kind of displays and what they typically had indoors in their businesses, they're going to be setting up on the sidewalks and out front just so that there's no overcrowding within any of the businesses and in kind of smaller areas. So just to be safe, they'll be outdoors, you know, pending the weather, of course. But we're really looking forward to seeing people out and about on Main Street this season.
I feel like we've talked a lot here in the newsroom at MSPR about supply chain issues with restaurants and getting your holiday gifts early because of supply chain issues all over the world. A lot of people are seeing this in almost every sector, but particularly with holiday gifting. And there's a big move for shopping local.
There really is. And I think that's an excellent kind of campaign to promote. You know, anytime that we can boost local business, it does everyone good. So I would love to see families, friends, businesses buy as much local as you can. Let's support our small hometown businesses. And really, there's so many unique gifts that you can get locally. And I think it, I don't know, I find it personally just kind of more exciting, more sentimental, and just really creative to buy gifts locally.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of options. I mean, a lot of work for many years has been put into downtown Morehead, creating a vibrant community. There are lots of local shops where people can go and purchase. I mean, maybe not everything that you might be on your wish list, but there's definitely wonderful things to purchase for someone's wish list.
There really are.
Now, you were talking about having events outside. You and I have discussed in the past and seen each other down on Bats and Oats, you know, hanging out with friends or family. It's getting colder, but there's things in place there now, so it makes it a little easier for people to continue using the space.
Absolutely. We've put out some heaters that were purchased last winter on the Bats Notes area. So if it is, you know, a little bit cooler, but you do want to be outside, we have those heaters available. And the heat is kind of one of the big discussions that we're having with our committee and focus group that's looking at the long-term plan and vision for the entertainment district. And so that would include, you know, what does it look like to put some type of permanent fireplace in that area? So that conversation continues, and we look to expand upon the resources we already have out there in the near future.
I know that there has been discussion about changing that that landscape there, you know, having a blocked off street, and it really has evolved a lot. I recently saw a picture of when the folding chairs were up and the folding tables out of the Carl Perkins Center had been popped up down there with the barriers that were kind of temporary, and that space has evolved a lot in the last year. But the last time you and I talked about it, there was a call for maybe some architects, and we were talking about like maybe what it might look like. Where is that project? Have there been architects come in and say, this is what we think it should be, or are we not there yet?
So we are working with an architectural and engineering firm to look at that overall area for us. Element Design is the name of that group. A fun fact, they are a female-owned business. So that's exciting just on a personal level. I like to promote that fact as well. But what they're doing right now is they've been meeting with leadership and businesses locally to get feedback and then kind of put this overall proposal together about different options, different price estimates, and how we can phase in kind of this long-term plan for the entertainment district.
Mm-hmm. And is there any time frame on when that's going to happen?
We're in the final design phase. So once that is completed, we will have to look at the budget and see kind of how much money would need to be included in each phase, because that money is not necessarily in the budget. We do have an entertainment district line item, so I guess it depends on the overall cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's one of those wait and see kind of things. The wheels of government do move slowly sometimes. But speaking of public spaces, I noticed that there was something that happened down at the Women's Park recently. I didn't know about it beforehand, but give us a little insight on what was going on.
So on November 4th, it was the 1 year mark from when Tracy Williams passed away. And the Moorhead Women's Park was created in her honor and now memory. And so we met myself and Tracy's daughter, Hannah, and Suzette Redwine from the Moorhead Women's Club. We met at the Women's Park on November 4th, and we read a proclamation that was created last year, and then we reestablished it this year, proclaiming November 4th Tracy Williams Day in the city of Moorhead. And with that, the Women's Club has been promoting for a little bit over a year now bricks that you can purchase that are being put around the fountain that has been installed at the Women's Park. And so they have the first round of bricks installed. If you do go down in the area, you'll notice it looks a little unfinished, and that's because it's just the first round. So as people purchase more, we will fill in. And then once the weather warms up, we'll be adding some concrete around that. But we just couldn't do that with winter approaching so quickly. But for anyone who would like to purchase a brick for a woman in your life, living or not, anyone that has made a mark on you or that you feel you want to be kind of commemorated in that area, the Moorhead Women's Club has all of that information available.
Very cool. Now, there was some public comment at the November City Council meeting, and some different people came in. But one thing that I thought was interesting was the newest idea for public art.
Absolutely. The Tourism Commission had a presentation that was really excellent. And so if you have been in downtown Lexington very often, you'll notice that they have these horse statues. You know, Lexington really promotes horses with Keeneland and everything that they have to offer there. And so those statues have been wildly popular amongst that city. So the conversation came up of how can Moorhead have something that really exhibits part of our culture and our heritage here. And so the idea was proposed to have statues on a smaller scale of turtles. And the connection with turtles is because the turtle is the symbol of the Sheltoe Trace Trail. that goes through our community, and we are a trail town, an official trail town, which takes a lot of work and a lot of time to be part of. It's nationally recognized. And so the turtles really have a lot of meaning to this community. So tourism is actually working with a company that is involved with the horse statues in Lexington to create some of these turtles locally. So businesses or individuals will have the opportunity to purchase those at some point if they want to. And we'll have them displayed throughout our town, which is another just piece of this public art initiative that we've really been focusing on in the last few years.
That's going to be really neat. I love to see new pieces of public art, even with these different ideas. I know the horse statues kind of sometimes they get painted and sometimes repainted. And we recently did a story about the ones in Lexington. Some new ones were coming out, which is really exciting. The city is still working on the police and 911 building there on Main Street. I know the last time we talked, there was a little bit of a holdup, so with some contractors, and where is that project right now?
We are still up and moving, so that's a good thing. You know, now we're getting into some colder weather, and so we'll see how that impacts us, but they're about, I think, 6 weeks behind is the overall kind of delay that we're experiencing right now. But the good thing is we've had some really decent weather in November, so they've been able to work later in the evenings and on the weekends as well. They have officially started the second level of the building. So if you drive by, you'll notice that those walls are going up. The floors are, the concrete for the floors are being installed, and hopefully soon we will see the roof go on.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Come and enjoy the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra with conductor Dr. Terry Durbin, December 4th at 8 p.m. in the Moorhead Conference Center. As part of the annual Hometown Holidays in Moorhead, admission is free. Hear arrangements of A Charlie Brown Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, White Christmas, and more. The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra and conductor Dr. Terry Durbin, December 4th at 8 p.m. in the Moorhead Conference Center.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Moorhead. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking a little bit about the regular November meeting of the City Council. A lot of items on the agenda. Looking into the unfinished business, you had the second reading of a couple ordinances that had to do with the utility system. Now, as someone who lives in downtown Moorhead and has seen utility bills kind of fluctuate a bit, I was like, what does this mean? Because it's not super clear with the language. If you just look at the agenda for City Council, it's not, I don't know what this means. So explain to me what these ordinances, one, did they pass? And two, what does it mean for the community members here in Moorhead?
Sure. So these ordinances were not pertaining to the tax rates or the bills themselves. What these ordinances were, and they did pass, they are authorizing bonding, and so that relates to some of the new projects that the Moorhead Utility Plan Board is working on. So some of these are the new water treatment facility and how they are funded. These are kind of required legally to be passed through the city because the plant board is an entity of the city in essence. But what this is this was for their bonding capacity for the new projects that they are working on.
And those projects, in addition to the new water treatment, that's maybe, is there a stormwater project happening downtown? Or I feel like
so
we haven't touched base about that in a while.
Sure. So stormwater was taken over, I believe, maybe 2 years ago. Those ordinances were passed for the plant board to take over stormwater facilitation from the city.
Right.
And so they had that worked into their overall 5-year plan. I believe for residences, it's a $2 charge that you may see on your utility bill. And for commercial, it's $4. And those were implemented a few months back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some other ordinances that the city considered had to do with rental fees for facilities and park shelters, basically recreational things. One thing that we hadn't talked about was rental possibilities for the mobile stage, which is new to downtown.
Right. And so there's not a ton of cities that have a stage. So trying to find something to compare to was a little difficult for us to get something to go off of. Actually, though, Lexington has a mobile stage. It's a little bit different, but we were able to look at their policies and ordinances to kind of model what we were looking for. So what we did do is, this will be on the agenda next month as well, but we had an open discussion about who and how we can rent this facility, I say, this mobile facility, I suppose, out. The stage can be rented through our Parks and Recreation office. And currently, until we kind of get ourselves situated and familiar with the entire setup and takedown process, we're only going to be renting it within city limits. Now, we'll be able to adjust that as we get through kind of understanding of what it will take on our end, because it is a big process to set it up and take it down. And it's also very expensive. So we have employees who are specifically trained to do the setup and tear down. And so we have to be able to pay for those employees to be there, whether that's overtime or worked in their schedule, and a lot of different pieces that are incorporated. So currently what we have in place is, if it is a public event, so if you wanted to have the stage set up on Batson Oaks and it was open to anyone and everyone, there would not be a charge to use the stage. However, if it's a private event within city limits where it's not open to the public, then there would be a fee of $700 to rent that.
Mm-hmm. And that's just based on kind of what the city council was able to figure out looking at other people's ordinances.
Yes, and we know that it will change, but again, we have to familiarize ourselves with it and also kind of establish the demand for renting it as well.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the last time it was up down at Batson Oaks, I saw some people when they were actually bringing it down, and I was going somewhere to do something, and then on my way back, they were still there, and I was thinking, wow, that is a big process. In order to get it up and get it down, it's not like you just pop it up. It takes several hours.
It does. It can take 3 to 4 hours for both setup and takedown. And so we've got to make sure that we accommodate that within all of our schedules as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at some new business that was discussed, I know that you know, it's getting colder. We already talked about the wonderful holiday events coming up. But the other thing that we have to anticipate, and the city as a municipality has to anticipate, is bad weather. And there's some preparations in the works for that this year.
There are. So the city put in our capital projects and capital expenses this year, 2 new snow plows, as well as 2 new salt spreaders for our public works department. And so the approval of quotes for those were submitted and passed unanimously at the city council meeting this month. So we will have some additional resources in the event that we do get some kind of inclement weather.
And I know I've looked at the woolly worms and the persimmons. I think people are starting to expect bad weather to come this year. And after the big ice storm we had last year, I guess it's kind of when faced with that storm, the city kind of had to go, oh, you know, we might need some new stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't realize is when the weather gets to certain temperatures, salt does not work. And so we have to be prepared to use snow plows and different resources to make sure that our roads are passable if need be. And so this is just an extra precaution to make sure that we are prepared as we enter this season.
One thing that I did kind of skip over there for a second, but I just saw on the agenda, there's a planning study for a support for the planning study for the Cave Run Lake recreational study. Can you give us a little bit of information on that?
So this is a study that is also incorporated with the plant board. And so they're applying for an ARC, Appalachian Regional Commission grant. So different studies have to be incorporated that with that, but that is a piece for the water usage in relation to the lake.
Mm-hmm. Now I know that this particular conversation that the city had about parking on Knapp Avenue did not pass. But that's not the first time that the city has discussed parking issues on these narrow streets that are in downtown Moorhead.
You are correct. I believe this same proposal has come up under myself and the two previous mayors. So it's a common discussion. Last month, the removal of this parking passed unanimously, and this month it failed with a 5-1 vote on the second reading of that ordinance. So there are about four to five parking spaces on the east side of Knapp Avenue as you first turn on to the street where it meets Cecil. And some feel that it's a bit of a danger because you have to turn, basically move into oncoming traffic to pass the parked cars because the road is not wide enough to still drive around them when cars are coming in both directions. So there was a very lengthy discussion. A lot of residents came and expressed their feedback as well. And there were varied opinions on the safety of that street compared with parking to not having parking. And so what was decided was you will see an increased police presence on that road. They're going to be monitoring speeding and parking violations quite a bit to bring some data back to the city as well.
Mm-hmm. I know that's an issue in my neighborhood as well, with having kind of narrow streets and being able to pass a car next to a parked car kind of gets a little dicey sometimes, or turning on certain streets where there are stop signs and minimal visibility. So if a person had some concerns, I mean, showing up at the city council meeting with a concern is probably not the most effective way to get some change initiated. How does one go about bringing those issues to the attention of the city council?
My recommendation would be, if you have concerns regarding things like that, to contact the police department first, because they're going to have to document that for us. And then it's best if they bring that information to the city council or to myself or to local leadership so that we can discuss the problem internally and then present the facts to city council.
Okay. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Laurel White Brown, Mayor of Moorhead, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.